We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
A-U-D-A-C-Y. Type that into your app search, then download.
This is Jones and Mego on WEEI.
We spend time on all those scenarios. When you're picking this high, fortunately, those teams that are interested are also doing that, so they'll reach out earlier than like when we're on the clock. So that makes it a little bit easier in this particular situation. Yeah, there have been conversations that have taken place.
Elliot Wolf earlier today meeting with the media leading up to the NFL draft, which is 7 days, 3 hours, 26 minutes, and 20 seconds. 19, 18, 17. Thank you, Ryan. Seconds from now. And Elliot Wolf said, yep, we're open for business. There have been trade conversations. What do we make of it? Do we believe it? Do we think the Patriots can actually move the pick between now and round one of the NFL draft, which is a week from tonight? We'll get to that here today on Jones and Mego with Arcan on WEEI. You just heard the Red Sox lose 5-4. They're back to 500. Not exactly what I was hoping for out of my Red Sox. It was a real Red Sox-y day today. Horrible lineup. It was a bullpen game. And on top of that, more errors defensively, more unearned runs for the Red Sox today. So if you want to talk about that, you can jump in as well.
You didn't like Emmanuel Valdez batting cleanup today?
The lineup, it was such a good point by Tomasi. Like, I looked at the lineup, and obviously I'm like, man, this lineup blows. What's wrong with this lineup today? Duran, Cassis, fine. Abreu, third. I mean, decent enough day, but yikes. And Manuel Valdez. Then Ref Snyder pinch hit for him. Which is important because of the couple other guys sitting on the bench who didn't get into the game.
Did he just arrive at the park and they're like, quick, get your bat.
He just got here. He was just activated today.
Europe.
Connor Wong, Hamilton, who I never want to see play again, Pablo Reyes, Reese McGuire, Sadan Rafaela. And so that was your lineup today. Abysmal. Horrible. They don't have a starter. Part of it is because of injury, but also part of it is because ownership is cheap. So it was Brennan Bernardino, bullpen game. And again, two more errors out of the Red Sox today. One from Reyes, one from, you guessed it, David Hamilton, because he makes an error every time he's out there. And the Red Sox, again, only allowed two earned runs. They wrap up the homestand 3-7 after their West Coast trip. They went 7-3. Add it all up. I know this math. That's 500, 10-10. It's so bad. Today felt especially bad to me. And again, this is how they've been trending, but today felt especially bad and real Red Soxy.
Just gross. Just gross and unfortunate. But we're just going to breeze past last night, like the one bright spot in the last couple weeks.
I mean, if you blink,
one true bright
if you blink,
spot,
you missed it. If you blink, you didn't even see the game last night.
It's beautiful. Beautiful performance from Hauk. I mean, they were trying to get something going yesterday, and the broadcast was like Hauk Mania. And I was like,
Hauk Mania. That's been going on Twitter for a while.
I guess I'm not in on Hauk Twitter. That's
not it.
It's a reference to Hulk Hogan and Hulkamania, Megan.
Yeah, I get the reference. Okay. I just think it's a clumsy reference.
I think it's a great reference.
Great question. Was that on the air, Ryan? Ryan just asked a good question.
That was in your ear.
Did you think the game was too fast last night, Arcan? It was an hour and 49. I know the game goes by too quick for you.
It was not a real baseball game. It was a good game. It was good for Tanner Houck, and I'm happy for him. That was not a baseball game last night.
Okay. So,
the most unpopular thing you have ever said is that you don't like the pitch clock because it makes baseball games go fast.
An hour and 49 minutes. The last time the Red Sox played a 9-inning game in that amount of time was 1975. Too fast for Arcan. Mm-hmm. Look, we can talk about that game if you want. I feel like this one outweighs it. They dropped 3 out of 4 to the Indians, and Guardians. And their lineup today, pathetic. And Devers was in the lineup yesterday. Now he's getting imaging today. We found that out before the game.
Yeah, what happened to this whole thing that Corey yesterday? Oh, he's feeling so good. He's probably going to DH tonight.
Strange.
Yeah, and then he went 0 for 4 with 3 strikeouts. Like, he didn't look right last night, I didn't think either. So I'm not surprised that this is happening today.
He's out of shape.
Yeah.
He can't swing a bat, and he can't move. That means you're out of shape. That's how he's hurt himself twice in the first month of the year. He's out of shape. So that's not a great contract the Red Sox have signed. It's probably not the worst one they've ever signed. They've had some bad ones, but it's moving up the list. The Devers contract is moving up the list, especially if there's an IL stint looming.
Just right next to the Story contract right now.
It's a bad one. It's another bad one that they have. Meanwhile, Yoshida was out of the lineup. I was reading Tomasi today, and it's a good point. Making matters worse are the guys who aren't playing, even though they're facing a righty today. That would be $90 million hitter Masataka Yoshida, another terrible contract. A 4-3 ground-out machine who's already played himself out of left field and might yet render the DH spot impotent too. The fact that Yoshida can't crack this particular lineup, which again had who hitting cleanup today, Arkin?
That would be Emmanuel Valdez.
Willier Abreu was hitting third. Where was Connor Wong? Was Wong fifth?
Wong batting fifth, and he was the DH, though. McGuire was good.
At least he's been hitting.
No, I mean, that's true, but like your catcher is your DH today batting fifth when he should be hitting ninth in a good lineup. It increases the fear. The fact he can't crack this lineup increases the fear, Tomasi writes. He's Rusne Castillo 2.0. Manager Alex Cora gave him another day off as he battles his slump. So if you want to talk Red Sox, you can. 617-779-7937. But I feel like most of you don't. I feel like most of you are more interested in the draft. That's what I'm more interested in. So let's react to Elliot Wolf. Patriots are open for business, Mego, as he said. They've had trade conversations, as he said. Why is he saying it? Is he just being truthful? Is he just revealing the truth? Because he's not Bill Belichick and he's not going to deflect and shut down questions. He's going to answer questions because he's a human being, like Gerard Mayo. Or are the Patriots playing games?
I think right now he is doing something intentionally, which we've heard Gerard Mayo do before, and I'm not sure when Gerard Mayo was doing it, he was doing it as intentionally. I didn't like most of this press conference from Wolf, but I think what he's trying to do is throw out every possibility so that it looks like there's no direction that they're going in. What makes me worried is that they have no direction of what they're going in.
Okay.
Like, they don't know what direction they're going in.
You said you didn't like it. What didn't you like?
I didn't like the whole part where he started talking about how he was evaluating their offense as being NFL level at every area.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
And specifically said that after free agency, because of the moves that they've made on offense in free agency, that they are not drafting from an area of need. If this is not a team drafting from an area of need, I'd love to see one. Like, you don't have a quarterback. You have Jacoby Brissett, and the best thing you can say about him over and over is he's a big, strong guy. Oh, yeah. Jacoby Brissett, he's a big, strong guy. Yeah. Like, what are we talking about?
He also said he would be good for a young quarterback. Dot, dot, dot. Oh, yeah, and he might compete with that young quarterback. But basically, he said he's here to handhold, which is why I think
they're drafting a quarterback. So, yeah, I didn't like it. Even if he's just trying to put everything out there because they don't want to show their hand in any way and blah, 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 it still comes off like they don't know what direction they're going in, or perhaps there's different people in the front office who have different ideas about what direction they should go in. We're 7 days away from the draft.
Yeah, I just didn't like him saying we're open for business. You know, I don't believe it, but a little part of me goes, well, why are they playing games? Like, what are they playing games for? And, you know, my best guess, if I have to keep answering this over and over and over again, is, you know, Washington's playing games in front of them. I think most people know what Washington's going to do, but who knows? Maybe they change their mind last second, and maybe they pivot to the Patriots guy. And the Pats just don't want to give up what they're doing. I don't think it's they're waiting for a Godfather offer. I don't think it's that they're waiting for the bag, as Gerard Mayo put it. I don't think any of those things. I just think they're trying to make sure Washington doesn't have a read on what they're doing and change their mind. That's my best guess. But I would prefer that Elliot Wolf says, we're sticking and picking and we're taking a quarterback. That's what I would prefer he'd say.
I mean, yeah, I'm sure you would. I think that the most, to me anyway, the most information I think we got from him was when he said that there hadn't been any offers. And I don't know if you guys believe it. Do you believe there's been no offers?
Well, you said there's been calls.
Calls, but no actual offers. So when he says that, I think that maybe what we're looking at here could be a market that's not maybe as lively as we expected it to be. I mean, there's teams that want quarterbacks, but if there haven't been any real offers made at this point, when we are 7 days, 3 hours, 18 minutes, and 6 seconds away from the draft, I'm not really sure that they're coming. So when he says we're open for business, we're ready for this. If he was getting a ton of offers, he wouldn't have to say that.
Well, when you say it's not lively, I mean, we know that the Vikings are trying to move up.
We know that they are.
It looks like the Raiders may be trying to move up.
But they haven't made an offer to the Patriots. So, I mean, when did the Vikings make that move to get the 11 and the 23? It was like three weeks ago.
Yeah. Mid-March.
You know, so if they haven't made an offer yet, like, it's one thing to make a phone call. If you haven't made an offer yet at this point.
You said they haven't made an offer?
Yeah.
Did he say they hadn't made an offer, or there was no offer they were, like, considered? Did he say there was definitely no offer?
That's what I remembered. I thought he said that those exact words, okay. But I'll
we'll
go back and try
transcript.
And find it.
Yeah. I watched it twice. That didn't jump out to me, but I may have just missed it.
Okay. Well, let's listen to a little bit more of Elliott Wolff here today. And this was an especially interesting press conference because, look, we can never hear any of the questions down there. Half the time I'm holding my laptop or my phone or whatever I'm listening to up to my ear to try to figure out, and I have the volume pinned all the way up and I can't hear what's going on. And so Ryan found a good solution here today.
I found a ringer with a voice that will cut through any low levels, any poor audio. I'm always thinking I have a solution.
Yeah, because we want to be able to hear the questions sometimes, yes. Right? It's like, who's asking these questions? Is it Tom Curran? Is it Mike Reese? Is it Phil Perry? That helps inform why somebody might be a little bit bitchy or why they answer a question a certain way.
All right. He said they haven't gotten an offer that qualifies as the bag.
Yeah. So maybe
I'm overreacting a little bit.
This is what I'm saying. I don't remember him saying they didn't get any offers. They didn't get any offers that they want to make a deal for, which, duh, they haven't made a deal. If they had an offer they wanted to make a deal for, they would have made a deal. So anyway, normally you'll hear Curran or Bedard or Reese or whoever asked the question.
Couldn't make out who was saying anything.
But we couldn't hear today. So what's our solution? What did we end up doing today?
I asked Arcan if he knew anybody, and he said, yes, of course. And he made a phone call, and he set me up with this gentleman. This gentleman would be Doug Funny's neighbor, Mr. Dink. So I gave my press credential to, professor. I think he's a professor. Professor Dink from the TV show Doug. And I had Mr. Dink go down there and ask questions.
Okay. So Mr. Dink is asking all these questions.
Yes. Most of them.
This one is going to be, I guess you'll hear the question about the quarterbacks here.
Douglas, there were obviously six quarterbacks that people are mentioning, and obviously you're not going to mention them by name. Feel free if you want to, though. But how do you guys in general have them rated? Do you have them all bunched together? Do you have them rated in terms of how they're going to be playing in 2024? Or do you have them rated how they might be in 2025 and 2026?
Yeah,
okay, so time out. Time out. Great question, Mr. Dink. That's a wonderful question.
Thank you, Douglas.
I mean, that's how you ask. If the Patriots aren't going to mic up people down there, or at least like generally give us audio we can use,
Thank you, Douglas.
I think we're going to keep doing this. I think this is the only way we can make out these questions.
It's on the Patriots at this point to make all of this stop. I'm trying to help our audience understand the context that they need when we're listening to these Patriots brass.
I think it may be a little bit of a signal of that this team is getting desperate for coverage again, that they're letting Mr. Dink into the press conference.
A good point.
A giant
GM.
Purple man.
Yeah. Well, I saw Thornton was there today, so, you know.
A giant cartoon character.
They're letting in anybody. Let me hear it.
Rated how they might be in 2025 and 2026.
Yeah, I'll address the second part of that first. It's a long-term decision.
Thanks, Mr. Dink.
I mean, I guess that's the best way to characterize it. It's a long-term decision. We look at upside, again, not just at the first pick, but at every pick. We look at upside in the draft, and we try to build out. We have player positions where we think we, you know, need to supplement now. Kind of plug and play type players, and we have other positions where we feel like we can, you know, draft and develop those people. So as far as the way we have them rated, I'd prefer to not really get into that at this point, at quarterback or at any other position.
Okay, so he didn't rate them out, but he does talk about upside there. And is that a giveaway? You know, we read into Jerod Mayo weeks ago talking about Drake May specifically. Well, he's got a ton of upside. You got to think about his floor. And Elliott Wolff was actually asked about that later on in the press conference. I don't think it was by Mr. Dink. But he was asked later on in the press conference about that exact thing. And he basically said, well, yeah, you got to evaluate every player's ceiling and floor. He kind of brushed the question off. But him being asked about quarterbacks and latching on to upside there, is that a tell? Is that a giveaway about what they might be doing?
If anything, I think it's in line with where he comes from, with Green Bay, that it's probably him showing his hand a little bit, that they're certainly not afraid to shy away from playing the quarterback right away. They're not afraid of sitting the quarterback. They're not afraid of trotting Jacoby Brissett out there all year long, or at least for 3/4 of the season, if they feel like it's the best thing for their quarterback, because they're not going to take J.J. McCarthy just so he can play week one and play through the next two seasons and then be in a Mac Jones type scenario again.
Did you read into that, Arkin?
No, not any more than just it's the same double talk they're doing with every single question where it's like, okay, you know, we're fine doing this, but we're also fine doing that. Like, whichever quarterback we get, we'll talk ourselves into it is what that sounded like to me.
Okay. Mego hinted at this one earlier, but this was especially insulting, I thought. Maybe I'm blending questions together, but I think Mr. Dink had another question about supporting a young quarterback on offense. Let me hear this again.
Do you feel that the roster as currently constructed is in a position to support a rookie quarterback next season?
I do. Okay. I read a lot of that.
He was a little more direct that time, right? Like, he wasn't beating around the bush.
Listen up.
No real preamble. He's done with the BS.
Okay,
he's,
all right, Buster, I got some questions
for
you.
He's like, all right, you know, I gave you an out last time. I'm not screwing around anymore. I'm getting down to brass tacks. So how do you support a young quarterback, Elliot Wolf?
Do you feel that the roster as currently constructed is in a position to support a rookie quarterback next season?
I do. I read a lot of that storyline. I'm not really sure what that means. We have a solid offensive line. We re-signed Mike Onwenu. We have David Andrews coming back. We have three rookies that we drafted last year that are developing. We signed Okorafor from the Steelers.
Oh.
Hunter Henry, I mean, a good running game, a solid foundation and a solid system in place with Coach Van Pelt on the offense. So I definitely feel like we can support.
Okay. So part of me does want to mock that. And I know this isn't the exact answer you were talking about, Mego, but that kind of hints at what you were talking about before. Well, yeah, we have a bunch of NFL players. What are you talking about? I don't even know how to answer that question.
I want to know who Elliot's reading. He says, I read that storyline a lot. I want to know who he's reading where he's like,
My heart did sink a little bit when he didn't say, I hear that a lot. I was like, ooh, maybe. Well, maybe
he's trying to show
radio,
you how smart he is. He actually reads The Globe.
It's a good
he
point.
Reads The Herald. He reads Mass Live. He doesn't just drive around and listen to us.
It's a good point.
Idiots.
It's like when she drops that Mr. Who is going to go down the hall and read a book. It's really just, you know, like a humble brag reading thing.
That's just because we don't have two TVs.
So Elliot Wolf is reading the media. Good point. Number two, so he's very aware and hypersensitive to that narrative. So I just want to push back and be like, oh, you think this is a good roster for a young quarterback to walk into?
Who wouldn't want this?
All that said, if we can blow past the BS and the nonsense that, oh, yeah, well, we have all these NFL players. What more? We got Okorafor from the Steelers. David Andrews is back. Good running game. Like, he didn't even mention any names. Good running game. He was just, like, running
like,
out of stuff to say.
I forgot Ramondre's name.
So just blowing past all that because it's nonsense and BS and no one believes it. He didn't exactly shoot down the idea of bringing in a young quarterback. And so to me, that was a positive out of that answer. It's like, oh, yeah, we can support a young quarterback. Young quarterback can come in and a young quarterback can play. That's not, he doesn't sound like he's saying a quarterback sitting. A quarterback is coming in to sit. And I referenced this earlier, but when he was talking about Jacoby Brissett, he said he's like a hand holder. He's good for a young quarterback. And oh, yeah, he'd be good to compete with too. I think Elliot Wolf had a few giveaways that, like, this is what we're doing. We're taking the quarterback, and, yeah, we're ready to support a young quarterback.
See, I think that this is exactly, though, the example of him throwing one thing out there and another thing out there, and we're also open to this, and we're also open to that. We're open for business. We're open to taking a quarterback. We'll play the quarterback right away if the situation's right. If the situation's not right, well, we're drafting and we're developing. We're a drafting and develop team, which I don't know how you say that when you're this new team. So, like, you can't just say, well, we're a draft and develop team.
But you
we're
can draft and develop.
Committing to developing now going forward.
But developing doesn't mean sit. Develop it. You can develop while you're playing.
Yeah. But I think when the way that he's saying it, he's saying we're drafting and we're drafting and crafting. We're going to make these guys into the football players that we want them to be. And I don't read into him saying, oh, yeah, we're intent on taking a young quarterback who's going to play right away. I think that he's like, we'll do whatever we feel like is best. We're flying by the seat of our pants and developing this as we go along.
See, outside of the open for business line, I think there were a lot of clues they're going quarterback. But maybe I'm reading too much into it.
No, I think that's true. I think that the quarterback thing is pretty much set in stone here. Any trade offer that they get, I'm sure they're not going to think is enough. You know, it's going to be a situation like that. And they're going to get whichever quarterback drops to them. They're not going to trade up. And whoever's there at three is who they're going to get. So they're just covering all their bases based on who it might be. And they want to make sure that they've answered every possible question in a way that suits either one of the two that they could possibly have there at three. Because it's either going to be May or Daniels at this point. I don't think McCarthy's really a legitimate contender anymore. But
why do you think that?
I don't know. I'm sort of falling out of the idea that it's going to go very much off script.
Even if you hear that Elliot Wolf likes McCarthy?
Yeah, even if I hear that.
Because I did like the part where he goes, I'm not crazy. If I like a guy,
if
nobody
I'm the only
else
one
likes
and
him.
Everybody else
I'm not
likes
crazy.
Him. Yeah, good. Well, and he doesn't have any power anyway. Like, I don't think he has any power, which is why I never cared if Elliot Wolf liked J.J. McCarthy. I never cared. I thought it was interesting because it just gives you insight into how he views the quarterback position and maybe how he missed out on Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen a few years ago when he had the number one pick. He could have taken any quarterback, and he wound up taking a guy who I think is a lot more similar to a Baker Mayfield, J.J. McCarthy type, than a top-flight, all-pro, MVP-caliber quarterback. And so I think that gives you interesting insight, but I don't really think he has any real power.
When you say he has no power, though, like, I get what you're saying.
At number three, okay. I don't think he has real power.
I was going to say, because he did essentially bring in the entire offensive coaching staff.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
So he has some power
at
there.
34?
Part of me goes, okay, if you're sitting there and you say that you're the only one, I'm just saying, if this is what's happening, you're the only one who likes J.J. McCarthy. Is Alex Van Pelt, who basically you came in and brought in and hired, is he really going to push back that hard? Is T.C. McCartney going to push back that hard? Is Ben McAdoo going to push back that hard? Like, who's really going to be the no man, like the no guy there?
Yeah.
They also tried to bring in people who weren't part of his circle, and they all turned him down or wouldn't take an interview, and they finally were just like, Elliot, just hire one of your friends,
this
basically.
This is the setup now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that wasn't like that was the thing. Like, we're giving you all this power, pick whoever you want. They tried all these other guys, and they all said no.
I'm also curious who is actually going to be part of the decision making. He gave some clues. It's him. It's Mayo. It's going to be a tight circle. I think ownership's going to be involved. So when I say he doesn't have power, I'm talking specifically about the number three pick. Elliot Wolf can probably do what he wants at 34. And he can definitely do what he wants in the third, fourth, fifth, sixth round. Like, he can definitely do that. And so I think when it came to free agency, there were limitations. And I think he made that pretty clear. We'll play you some answers about free agency, Calvin Ridley, the wide receivers coming up. I think there were limitations there. And I think he is going to be a bit hamstrung in what he can do at pick three. But beyond that, no, he's the personnel guy, I think, for right now. So he'll be able to have some autonomy and some ability to make those picks. At three, I don't think that's the case. And I think he's letting you know, look, yeah, we're open for business, but that's just playing games with Washington. I think they're taking a quarterback. They are ready, in his words, to support a young quarterback.
Yes, with their NFL team.
Okay.
We have an NFL team.
I mean, very expensive.
He didn't play up the idea, Arcan, that the quarterback's going to sit, right? I didn't hear anything that said the quarterback's going to sit.
I didn't hear anything about that at all. But I also think that, you know, you can't say, well, yeah, our offense sucks, and we have all these wide receivers, and they all suck, so whoever we put out there at quarterback is going to suck with these receivers. Like, you have to talk them up somehow.
Their wide receivers suck, and their offensive line sucks, and the whole team sucks. But the quarterback should play right away. I mean, that's one thing I feel strongly about. You didn't support him, that's on you. He should play right away. 617-779-7937. What are the Pats doing at number three? Any clues today from Elliot Wolf, who spoke extensively about the entire team, not just the quarterbacks? He did give more insight into his quarterback philosophy. We can get to that with all your feedback coming up next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.